Much like Afro Man, we can't use this gear. So this is, any of you would know, but this is take two of a great little snippet we just had, but we had to redo it because we screwed up Pro Tools.
Yeah, this is the second time we're doing the exact same thing. So welcome to Friendly Geordie's podcast. In absence of
Friendly Jimmy's,
the great man himself.
So he is actually on aboard a plane, a Skyjet flyer, going to the hills of Canada to stare at mountains every single day, which will be mad.
But yeah, that's awesome, right? He's on like a flying iron bird.
It is amazing. I'm not going to downplay the achievements of the Western world. Like, damn.
Yeah, this is quite ironic. Two men who can't get a computer to work so are still impressed by an invention that was made like at least 100 years ago now.
I'm really impressed.
You can fly. Like, your feet aren't even touching the ground.
In a giant metal bird. It looks like we're all good now. We were struggling a bit there. We basically embodied Afro Man for a little bit there.
Yeah, it was an appropriate choice. We thought it was for the segment. It was actually for us.
For real life.
Whatever happened to Afro Man?
Oh, man. You know what?
That's
genuinely interested to know what the answer to that is. I feel like... Do you think he became a millionaire from that one song?
Well, it was back in the day when you could actually make money.
And like, that was huge, like, when I was in year 6, I think, or year 7, it was, like, a big deal.
Man, this is the best thing about talking about weed back in the day. Like, you didn't have to come up with good content. As long as it was about weed, you would succeed. Like... Cheech and Chong, case in point. Have you ever seen those movies? All they're saying is, let's smoke some weed, man.
That's the whole thing.
And they've got like 20 movies. Like,
really?
Tom Cruise does not have 20 Mission Impossible. But Cheech and Chong, it's just like, it's all about them getting... Like, modern day stoner movies are... I guess what Seth Rogen produces, right? So, like, this is the end, where it's... Yes, you know cleanly that they're stoners, but there's more to the story than just be like, let's make some weed. Oh, my God.
They've put in slightly more effort in that we'll roll it and smoke it.
It's yeah, like, that's right.
That's not a film plot.
Yeah. And, okay, so one of the Cheech and Chong movies I saw, it was hilarious.
How many are there?
Well, there's millions.
Yeah.
So they had a car... A van, like the Dumb and Dumber van, but made out of weed, and it catches fire, and they're driving around, so they're, like, whilst they're driving, they're making the entire USA high. And that's the story, that's the plot. And that was good enough for, like, 15 sequels after that.
I take it all back, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
I'm making the...
Making the whole USA high.
Yeah, that's legitimately the plot. So they're driving around on a highway and the smoke from the back of the van.
God bless you, Cheech
and
Chong.
And that van costs $50 billion, like some ridiculous amount of money, like a stoner amount of money.
It's so good.
Like a Richie Rich version of a movie.
Anyways, man, it's so good.
So we're going to throwback for... those days, we've just come up with a segment which is exactly that. We're just going to talk about weed.
Which is what, just before Ali said, well, on the podcast that no one will hear because we screwed up the recording originally, but he was basically like, you know, every single weed show is just like, is it good for you or is it bad for you? And like, now that Jordan's not here, it's essentially, we're basically turned into that podcast, High Times, and we're just going to smoke weed and be like, man... I think it's good for you. Like, his podcast has become Joe Rogan light.
Yeah, Joe Rogan needs to run for his money now. Miss Love and Ali are on their way after getting rid of this baggage of a man, which is Jordan.
Friendly Jimmy's is like, you have to, which I call Jordan, by the way, because...
Yeah, that's Miss Love's joke, which, in my opinion, is hilarious, where he calls Jordan Friendly Jimmy's.
because why? I can't be bothered, essentially? Yeah. Or like,
it demonstrates Miss Love's personality in a nutshell, where he can't remember his best friend's name. So
I tease him.
Hey, Friendly Jimmy's, guess who's in town?
I just feel like it really paints him as like more of a... Because I feel like at heart, Jordan is a 1940s, like... seller of elixirs that does tricks for a living. He still has that old timey vibe of like, yeah, she, like,
yeah, he
like
really,
you know,
wants that.
Yeah, he has a stunt double and he's like, now, I don't know what they even did back then. It's like, now I'm gonna run around fly around the world in 30 days. And then he comes back, he's like, you cheated, you came back in 24 days, you had a double. He's like, raspberries. So for some reason, I feel like Friendly Jimmy's is a better name because it's it embodies that entrepreneurial turn-of-the-century spirit that he embodies.
I just like
profound.
The fact that it's not his name and you call him that. But
that's funny too,
but you
actually
know what? Now that Jordan's not here, maybe we can character analyze him a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I reckon he is...
Oh, this is so exciting.
You know how, like, there's these... If you go to, like, small towns, there's always these kind of good-looking girls who've always stayed in their neighborhood and are like, Mom, I hate this place. I'm going to get out of this. Yes. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to see what's out there.
I'm going to discover
Jordan's,
the world.
Yeah, he's discovered. I feel Jordan's exactly the opposite of that. So he grew up in Bondi.
Yeah, Bondi.
And like he understands how a metropolis works, and he's decided that he wants the small, low-time girl's life. He's like, screw
oh my
this.
God.
I've seen the world, and it sucks.
Dude, that's so accurate. That is actually so accurate.
So he still wears those dad
sandals. And like, well, the thing is, man, since he's been up... Yeah, we'll talk about the other segment in a second, because this is actually way more interesting and even more funny if he listens to it after the fact. But
he would.
Which, you know, he might.
Yeah,
but
he's
a
fan of himself and us.
But yeah, like he's essentially moved to Lithgow with me, and you've been up a few times. It's nice, you know. I mean, it is a nice place. It's just, you know what Lithgow really is? It's essentially Sydney. Before they built the Harbour Bridge. That's all it is. It's got hills. It's a little bit, I mean, well, much less built up, so obviously disregard the city. But, I mean, if you were dropped in this street in Redfern and you'd had one too many shandies, you could believe that you're in Lithgow. Like, it's just like a smaller version, you know. It's not that different.
What, like like Sydney in 1875?
Exactly. And the thing
when
is,
Sydney was essentially the postcode 2000. Yeah. That was it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, before the bridge got made, there used to be gangs on either side. And yeah, and they would have like knife fights. They would meet. Like, one gang would catch a ferry over or a boat, and then another one would catch over the other side. Like, right, it's a North Shore scrappers, let's have it then. And they would, well, I don't know where they had English accents, but they would
they
like
would, right?
They would probably, it was a long time ago. Yeah, yeah. They would probably, they just like cut each other up. And it was like a really,
damn,
how crazy.
The closest thing we had to like Sparta was just
yeah, English guys that are like working class but reasonably well off fighting. But anyway, Jordan moved to this town, and it's almost like, you know, I enjoy it. I am gonna get my motorbike license soon. I like the chilledness, and to be honest, I like it there because I'm like I'm earning money, which is a change for me. And I'm going to travel and I'm going to put it into my music and, like, you know, live a normal human life as they say. But, but yeah, Jordan, like, loves it.
Wait, did you just say you're going to get a motorbike and a motorbike license?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so as someone who does that, mm-hmm. I have, like, three issues.
Please tell me.
With experience.
Yeah, yeah.
First one.
Don't, yeah.
If it rains like shit, then
don't ride.
It's very annoying to ride your bike because you're also wet and it's kind it's of dangerous. Dangerous.
It's heaps dangerous.
If it rains heaps, it's actually not as dangerous.
Exactly. But astro, this is called like astroturfing or something, or arid. When water hits the road initially.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's like ice.
That's how I fell off my bike for the first time.
Shit.
So what happens is that as soon as the first few drops of rain...
It's just ice. It's ice. It literally turns into ice for a while. Like, not literally,
well, maybe
but...
in Lithgow, but in Sydney, what happens is that, even worse, there's, like, so much oil on top of roads that... Because, like,
cars,
trucks
yeah.
everywhere, yeah. cars, and there's just so many of them that it loosens it up.
Mm-hmm.
So the road actually becomes a lot more slippery.
Right.
So, yeah, it's actually quite dangerous. But other than that, look, the extreme cold is annoying, which would happen in Lithgow.
Oh, man.
But
yeah.
as soon as the season's over, that should be all good.
Mm.
And yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
I'll take that advice. But Jordan, back to Jordan, I think he's profoundly connected to, like, you know, as Lithgow as an example, is profoundly connected to kind of nature, the great outdoors. He hates congestion. He kind of hates the city, really. But I think it's quite funny. I'm sort of similar, but I think it's quite noble in a way. Like, God, I wanted to pay him out. I was trying to pay him out, but it's kind of cool that he enjoys it that much. But it's a funny thought, you know, like, He grew up in the city, and at 27, he's just like, I've had it up to here.
At age 27.
And also he's super successful, so it's like, you could go to, like, I mean, I was going to say the Ivy, but fuck that. But like, you could go to some mad club, the whole club scene is pretty lame. You could go to a pub, whatever, and have, like, two indie chicks on either side of you and just be like, now, suck my balls. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, he wouldn't do that because he has a girlfriend and he's faithful, but it's funny that he chooses, like, meth heads and gum trees.
Dude, okay, we were actually having that discussion.
Because Ali's been up there too.
Yeah, so I go there almost every week to record the pod, which we aren't doing this week. But anyway, so...
Well, we're doing it here. We're in FBI, by the way. That's probably why I can tell we have the high-fidelity microphones. And that, by that, I mean the low-fidelity microphones.
Thank you very much, FBI.
Thank you, FBI.
No, okay, this is something that you could help us resolve. Because Jordan and I have been having this debate for a very long time now.
Yeah.
And we haven't reached a conclusion. So both of us were brought up in the city, just different cities. But still, like, I'm used to living in a metropolis as well.
Mm.
So what I argue is that when and if I have kids, I would not want them to grow up in some small town, but I would want them to grow up in the center of the city with all the homeless people, all the scrubby shit. And my personal argument for that is that when you're a kid, that's the most impressionable time for you. So you're learning the most at that point. And if you only see people like you in settings that are very similar to yours.
Makes you ignorant.
Yeah, well, not only just ignorant, but it just does not develop your brain in the same way. Like, if a kid in Sydney is growing up, so not only is he seeing, like, a homeless dude who has nothing, he's also seeing some dude in a Ferrari rock up at the same time. So just the exposure is insane. And the kid would know how to deal with different settings once they grow up. So one of the things that I was telling him was extremely important is that you should be able to adapt to any setting that you're in. So if you're with extremely rich people, then you should be able to have a conversation without that being a big issue. Like, you can understand how rich people talk, and you can sort of blend into that. And similarly, if you're in a povo group, then you can sort of, you know,
you're Aussie now.
Or like you're just like a Charmeleon. You're a master of everything.
You know what? I 100% agree with you.
But on the other hand, so Jordan, let's look at his points. So,
Friendly Jimmies.
Friendly Jimmies.
This is our show now, baby. We can say whatever we want.
Jordan, from what I can remember, his point was that, firstly, growing up in the city sort of alienates you as well, where like these sort of things, it sort of fucks with your mind and you go into these shells and you actually aren't able to cope with that situation. So what he was saying is that maybe for you, that's how it worked. But for someone else, with all of this shit, they go into a shell and they just aren't as confident or as enterprising because of the situation. In fact, it works for them negatively. Whereas in like, if they were growing up in a small town with all the care and all the love and the monotonous nature of life, they develop as functioning human beings.
Damn.
I think he just hates hipsters. I think that's his problem. He just hates in
damn.
The West
hipsters. I was just ready to tear apart Jordan, but damn, he right too.
Yeah, I
like
know.
that's actually right too. You know, like I think they're both really good perspectives. I kind of disagree though. I don't think the country necessarily. I think all in all, generally speaking, the country isolates you, makes you a weirdo. I think that's the truth. Like a lot of the time, it has no advantages. So I think I really think that the argument of the family and the suburbs and like a healthy environment, I think that's true of the suburbs. So if you grew up where I grew up, like the North Shore, it's like essentially I grew up in the country without the meth heads and a way denser population and also close to urban areas. So I had it the best. I think having,
yeah, that's
it's great. A mix, but having said that, like, yeah, so I think he's wrong. That I think that what he said was right. In regards to the burbs, I don't think it was right in terms of the country, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also, I just think that...
It's rough. It's rough, man. It's beautiful, and the people are great, and I love them, and nothing against them, and I am generalizing, but it's just common sense, you know, to be closer to... I mean, I know, like, I've met some guys in Lithgow that have been to, like, a rock show concert, like, once or twice. When I was a kid, my dad took me to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers when I was like 12. So that's the difference. There's not, some family's not going to, like, culture is important. It's, yeah. In fact, culture is just as important as having like a loving family being raised, I would say. So I think the burbs are a lot more, the city's a lot more safer. I think a kid, if I had a kid, and I wanted to have a well-adjusted, worldly, understanding, intelligent, sort of child, I think the best place for them to grow up would be in the center of New York City.
What?
I'm serious. Seriously.
For the same reasons that I presented.
For the same reasons, because that is a perfect example of that story that you were painting, that picture you were painting.
Yeah, it would be. But you don't want just that, because you also...
But then you can piss off to...
You're going to grow up an... hustle, I feel, if you go in the center of New York.
Okay, maybe not the center, maybe like Queens or the Bronx.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, what you were like, you lived in the North Shore, which is still in Sydney, but it's sort of a secluded area. So, I guess that's the best possible scenario.
Dude, I had the best upbringing.
I am looking at you and I'm wondering, is that really the best scenario?
You All right. Don't be put off by my crappy clothes.
No, dude. Yeah, it's fine. I reckon you've solved the debate. But let's move on to the actual segment.
Yeah, which once again.
Weed good or bad?
Joe Rogan light. Yeah. This is what you get, Jordan. When you leave, this is what you get.
Yeah, if Joe Rogan 7 years ago, when it was still cool to talk about weed on TV. But anyways, go on. So let's just introduce us to what your brainstorming is.
This is going to be a new low for a segment, because it's basically like high school talk. That's what I'm going to bring up. But... I smoked up last night with my brother, and I smoked too much weed when I was in high school, and I just like freaked me out. I didn't like it, like after a while. But like just last night, as an example, because I came home, I was chilling, and it's like destroys your anxiety, gets rid of your anxiety, makes I think undebatably makes food taste like fucking 50 times better, and it's like the perfect remedy for sleepy times. Do you think that... God, it really is true. It really is Joe Rogan light. But do you think that, like, I almost feel like if the majority, and I'm not talking about smashing cones. That was just a joint. If it's smashing cones on a couch is not cool, and being addicted, that's not cool. But do you think if, like, as an example, like all of Sydney smoked weed, life would be better?
Yeah, it'll be more like living in Samoa. We've talked about this on the pod before. We talked about life in Samoa, which is...
Samoa? Is that in Africa? No.
Yeah, it's like it's in the Pacific. So it's basically... I think the segment was called, Is Samoa Paradise or Plain Lazy? So if everyone smoked weed, but I actually agree with all 3 points. So
yeah.
I am a smoker.
I'm
actually like I've cut down heaps and I'm giving it up before I start my post grad next month. But the reason why I'm doing it,
I'm joking.
But for those 3 exact reasons, so they don't work in my favor. Number one,
mm-hmm.
food tastes better. That's not good for a guy trying to lose weight. So that is not... Like, what happens is, like, I'll be good throughout the day. I'll work out. And even if I don't work out, I'll have, like, fruits, vegetables, salads, or whatever. And then as soon as I smoke up at night, I'm like, give me those deep-fried carbs.
That's true. That's
so
true.
It just doesn't work in my favor. The second thing is it reduces anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I agree with that. But the problem is... I feel I don't want to lose my anxiety because I'm motivated to work and basically research
You need the anxiety.
Yeah, I desperately need it because otherwise if I just smoke weed then I'm like, shit will work out.
Wait, are you doing your undergrad now?
No, postgrad.
Oh, sorry, that's what I meant. Your postgrad.
Yeah.
Does that mean you'll have a master's?
Yep, after I finish this and I'll
have... How long till you have it, till you finish? Like...
3 years.
Damn, respect. Can I just do a, on behalf of the audience, respect?
Or man, that's
behalf of all us uni students that have been through it.
Dude, I may not be able to, actually, this is, I don't know if you should talk about this on the pod, but Jordan was talking about a potential radio gig soon, which means that I will have to make a choice.
Right, yeah.
Anyways. So... And what was the third point?
The third point was it helps you sleep.
Yeah.
Which is almost, I would say, for me, and I don't smoke a lot at all, but for me, the most poignant factor. Because I can never fall asleep at night. I do this thing where it's not even like I'm lying awake thinking about North Korea. It's like not even that. It's like I do this thing where I, like that song by The Streets, don't mug yourself. I mug myself. So, because I have to sleep, I don't sleep. Like, my psychology is like, I'm not going to do that because I have to. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Oh, God.
It's like reverse psychology or whatever. It's like, you know, like, for instance, if I didn't have to sleep or it was like, we have to go, I'll be asleep like that. It's really silly. So, anyway, it helps. But what would you think for you? What would you say?
My problem is I have, at least for now, I have no trouble sleeping. Like,
okay.
I sleep like a baby every night.
Right, okay.
Which is one of the issues, man. Like, I actually think getting less sleep is not that bad.
Oh, well, I agree with that. But, I mean, well, 4 hours isn't enough.
I can do 5 hours now quite easily.
I can, too. I'm pretty happy with 6...
Yeah, six is
seven.
Like, yeah, that's perfect.
Six is good. What's that? Wait, so if you go to bed, maybe 7, maybe more like 7, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that's the thing. Seven just means you're into.
Okay,
when you're a kid, right? Like a baby sleeps maybe 22 hours a day or something.
Dang.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? So as the older you get.
The less you need.
Sleep.
It's true, completely.
So, like, ask your dad or someone, right?
Dude, my dad, he is a walking example. My dad is a guy that, like, is obsessed with cycling and doing yoga. You know how dads go 2 paths in life? Either they go extremely unhealthy and become alcoholics, and they become addicted to being fat and alcohol, or they get addicted to working out and they're too skinny. They're addicted to working. Yeah, yeah. So my dad's gone. They're addicted to working out. He's too skinny.
Homer Simpson or Rob Lowe from Parks and Recreation. I know you will not get that reference, but someone, I think maybe two people listening to it will.
Yeah. No, that's a good show. I just haven't gotten a chance to get into it. But yeah, so essentially he is like that. So along with his insane exercise routine and like doing yoga every night and like allowing himself to ingest like 0.6 calories of fat per week, as well as that he sleeps shit all, because that goes with that whole package. It's like, I don't need sleep, I need to exercise more. So my dad is the stereotype. My dad, yeah, he doesn't sleep at all.
Exactly, because dude, he doesn't need it. When you're growing up, your body needs to sleep so that it can grow taller. It can, yeah, like all of these functions need to happen. Your brain is developing, so you need heaps of sleep. But once you hit, I reckon about 24, you're not actually growing. So you can drastically cut down on your sleep and not face any repercussions.
Damn.
So, and it's just like, if you have more time during the day, you can get more shit done. And I usually just fall asleep. Nowadays, I fall asleep at like 12 or something and wake up at 7. So it's 7 hours, but I'm trying to train myself to sleep at maybe 3. And wake up at 7.
Oh wow! See, I think that will not be conducive to your health, to your sleep patterns personally. But I mean, it's all hearsay. So, but generally, I mean, it's all different perspectives. But generally speaking, God, we're so lame. Is we good for you or not?
Okay, there's another thing that, again, no data to support this except for every stoner in the world saying it.
Cancer?
Yeah, cancer. Weed kills cancer cells.
Well, yeah, there's no...
But there's always one thing that people say which, like, makes me wonder, maybe they're right. Have you ever met a cancer patient who's a stoner? It's always smokers that get cancer. It's never like...
Dude, I partially believe it, man. Like, my brother, not to, like, drop the mood, but, like, my brother about, what? I don't know when it was. About a year ago, more like 2 years ago. Yeah, about a year and a half ago, got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. It was a giant upheaval of a battle because he was misdiagnosed and got neuropathy from it. And it was really bad and we were nearly going to sue the hospital. Still might, actually, because they were misdiagnosed continuously. Brutal, but he's doing a lot better now. He's on top of it. Well, you know, he's doing well. But anyways, for a while he was on this weed oil stuff.
Yeah.
And this guy sort of hooked us up with, he's like a naturopath dude, and he was a chill dude, but it helped him a lot. But I spoke to a doctor about it. It did help him a lot. Got his appetite back as well. And the doctor was saying, he wasn't saying that it's not true. He said there's not enough evidence and not enough money being put into the research. So I kind of think there's something with that. I mean, it is like weed is kind of this magical plant, like hemp. And paper is great. It doesn't. Okay.
Magical
in terms of
plant.
It is though. In terms of environmental degradation, compared to trees, compared to the water it needs and everything, it's far far better. You can make. If it wasn't for the paper industry, I mean, we would essentially be living. Our waste would be, cut by like like 2/3 or more because of the whole like.
These are such vice news points.
I know.
But
like all I'm saying is, if it wasn't demonized, I think that the properties of it could be more than we think. And the doctor at the hospital, he didn't say it's bullshit. He just said it's going to take a long time because it's not priority number one, which I understand, but it's like...
It's not even that it's priority. So most of this research sort of happens in the Western world and primarily in the US. The problem with weed is that you're not allowed to do research on it. So it will eventually, because it falls into whatever that type...
A narcotic.
Yeah,
which
like
is
type one category.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Part of all the like stoner rhetoric aside, it's
that's stupid. Actually, dude, Chomsky says it the best. Like, he's the furthest thing from a stoner, but he was saying that, I can't imagine it's good for you, but nonetheless, there's no reason to go to jail if you've got, like, a joint in your pocket. Like, according to the stats, I don't know, this is what I've been told, right? There hasn't been a single overdose death. and we do allow liquor and tobacco.
It's so, true. Yeah,
so, like, it's true, right? So,
I mean, it's true. It's just undeniably true. I mean, smoking, you know, the older I get to, I have an axe to grind with smoking and alcohol, because if you look at the numbers in Australia or in America, for example, it's insanely devastating. The amount of alcoholism, my family's been touched by that too. And it's like, it's so strange because unless you've gone through something like that, you just don't, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's just alcohol. Like, it's not that big a deal, but it's like, I think it's the worst drug of all. It can seriously fuck people up.
Alcohol's the worst. Like,
it's so bad.
It is the worst thing ever.
It is. I mean, I like drinking in that, but there's no, in no world is weed worse for you, worse for you than drink. It's just not true. I mean, it's terrible for your blood pressure. It's terrible for your, it's full of sugar. It's full of carbs. I mean, and then smoking cigs. You smoke too, don't you? And the thing is, right, smoking cigs, I usually don't, I don't smoke. I used to smoke a little bit, but now, like, if I go out, I might buy a pack. Just, I don't know, I don't mind. Again, they go hand in hand, smoking and drinking, great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the numbers on that are crazy too. I don't know how, it doesn't have the stigma, I guess, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Agree with that. At least they can do is get that off of that type 1 or schedule 1 drug category.
It's insane.
So you could do research on it.
It's insane.
Yeah, so...
But anyway, so basically, case closed. Weed is mad.
weed is mad. The, I don't know, man. Like, the only reason... Well, so I used to... When I was at uni, I would drink a lot more than I do now.
Yeah.
And part of the reason was that I remember being... Actually, so I had like an exam the next day, so I wasn't drinking much, but this was when I was living on campus at uni, and I was really hungry, so there was like a 24 hours Macca's across the road.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I go there just to get something, and then I'm standing in queue, and then there's this like drunk out of his mind dude in front of me, and this other girl who was also, like, they didn't know each, like, it seemed like they weren't together, like they were just two separate customers, and he was just talking absolute shit to this chick, right? And the chick was basically trying to avoid him, just being like, get the hell out of my face.
Yeah.
And then, but he was so drunk to even realize that. And that's when I looked at him and was like, man, I do not ever want to be in that guy's situation. Mm. Like, I do not want to be doing this shit. And that's pretty much when I don't get drunk anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I have alcohol socially.
So, you know what's really, bad? In terms of my drinking, I'm peaking right now in life. Like, I'm drinking, like, every single day.
Dude, you're
day.
A bad drunk. I can tell you, because, like, when you're drunk, I'm not as drunk as you, and you're awesome. Like, it depends. I don't know.
I'm lucky that I have, the Eastern European blood, because, like, it takes a lot for me to get drunk, and if I do, like, I literally just am the same with a bigger smile. Like, I just enjoy it. Like, it's fun. Like, I like it. But I'm definitely, like, I'm drinking, like, nearly every day now. It's not healthy.
No, dude, but, like, you're, what, 27?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that it's the best thing that you're doing, but it's not as bad as you imagine. Like, if you're young, like, I am a big proponent of having fun in life as well.
Of course, of course.
Like,
it's all a balance, it's all a balance.
Yeah,
but,
anyways, but either way, weed is better because you don't act like a dick when you're drunk. All you do is, like, you just fucking try to hide and watch shit on your computer.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyway, so we should probably move on to the next segment.
Come on.
That's intentional.
Here we go. This is a little...
Is this from Blade Runner again?
Yeah, it's so good. Oh,
this is a weekly produced
now. It will be. It's just so good.
When is it even coming out?
Oh, soon. And it's just... It's one of those movies where it's like, I actually want to see it so badly that I don't want to see it, because then I'll never see it for the first time again.
Yes, I get that.
So, guys, next segment. Does Jordan dream of an electric Yilmaz?
Again.
We don't need him.
Exclusive Miss Love production.
Yeah, I've just thought up a lot of the segments tonight.
Does Jordan.
So, the premise of this, the premise of this segment is, essentially, over the past few days, I've listened to the audiobook of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which was actually recommended to me by Jordan, and I didn't realize that that's what, that was inspired by, that's what Blade Runner used as inspiration for their film. I didn't realize that, because I just didn't know about it, I guess. Or I forgot, since like year 12. And essentially, I just wanted to talk about it, because it's such, have you read it?
No, I haven't.
It's such, okay.
What is it about?
So it's such a dense book, and it kind of ties in as well it's very similar to Blade Runner. And I also watched Ghost in the Shell last night when I was a little bit blazed with my bro. And that has a similar idea, and this whole thing is kind of this grand, I mean, that book is really interesting. It's set in this post-apocalyptic world where everyone, you know, all the humans or everyone, basically everyone that's sort of like of quality human being is living on Mars, and then Earth is this sort of desolate wasteland with like big storms and this kind of like bloody nuclear mist that hangs around, and you can get sick from it. And it's essentially, there's like the world's population is like minuscule. It's like the population of a country, the whole world or something. And like, it's this world where the meaning behind the title is that all animal life is essentially more or less gone. There's this tiny population of live animals, and they're like millions of dollars to buy like a sheep or something, or a goat. And they all take care of these electronic animals, and they're all really, it's like there's such immense pride in looking after these animals, but also shame that they're not real. And it's this whole interesting world, and the story's about these androids that...
Wait, are they kept as pets? Or
yeah, pets. Just pets, yeah. These androids escape from... Oh, no, that's the movie, maybe. No, actually, I can't remember now, but they escape from Mars, and this guy, Deckard, is his last name, just needs to terminate them. But it's all... It questions... the age-old question of AI... When does it cease to become artificial? What does it mean to be human? If our realities are one reality, why is another reality not just as genuine? And in this argument of, you know, our DNA and our genome are essentially the same functions as microchips. They're just tiny, they're natural, but they're electronic communications to create a program, which is us, and we're all essentially the same.
Yeah, they're microchips, memory sticks, which basically just feed your information to actually go, you need to have blue eyes, because that's what's been coded into.
Exactly, they're codes.
To be this tall.
Exactly.
That's what's been coded.
Exactly, they're codes, just like anything
in
AI.
And also, a bit controversial, but I try to explain this to people as well, it also includes... if you're going to get like some life-threatening disease like cancer or something. So it's actually coded into you. Your lifestyle obviously has effects on it.
Mm.
But if you are meant to have cancer, then you will.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. Which is why like now they almost give probabilities to if you can have cancer or not. You
know, wow.
Angelina Jolie recently just went through the surgery to avoid getting breast cancer. It's not because she had breast cancer, but doctors are now... they basically told her that you've got up a 75% chance of getting breast cancer.
Wow.
Because of your family history, and it's most likely coded into you.
Yeah, heavy.
So, yeah. Anyways, yeah, go on. So.
But yeah, and then, yeah, what else was the book about? I mean, I'm trying to think now. Yeah, it was essentially a lot of them, these androids, they wanted to, it wasn't, in Blade Runner they wanted to extend their life, but...
Is it about just reality being morphed as like where does artificial end and where does like mechanical intelligence actually just begin?
But that was one of the facets. There's also a lot of religious stuff in there. There's a lot, I mean, like questioning religion and what role it plays and all kinds of things in morality. But that was the main thing that stood out, because the androids that were there, they were looking... Oh, yeah. In the book, what it is there's this thing called Mercer. And Mercer is this, spoiler alert if anyone wants to read it, but Mercer is this sort of like religion. And also I didn't really understand a lot of it. It's more intense than Brave New World. Mercer is this sort of like religion and culture and status quo that everyone sort of, worships. But it's nothing over dramatic. It's essentially a very mainstream religion, but then it's been set up on Earth, and then they sort of discover that it's fabricated. It was just completely false. It was just made in like a Hollywood basement, essentially. And then it sort of, and this Mercer thing creates morality in the world. So it's like wrong and right. So that justifies human beings versus machines. And then they figure out that it's not real. And then these androids are like, maybe we can just coexist, because all we want to do is like live. That's all we want to do. That's all we want to do. But also androids can't feel empathy. That's their one downfall. They can't feel empathy towards someone else.
Yeah.
And it's just got this big thing of morality. And, yeah, I don't know. That's about it. It's one of those books that as soon as it was just an audiobook, but as soon as I finished listening to it, I wanted to listen to it again. I'll probably have to read or listen to it like 3 or 4 times to understand it, because it's like really dense. But it's also really well written. It's hard to explain. It's quite casual. It's not like, it's got jargon and stuff in it, but it's not like Brave New World where it's like the ectoplasm is being birthed through the new human race. It's not like that. It's just like, it's kind of like, it's got more of that steampunkiness to it, you know?
Man, but, this sort of shit really freaks me out.
Now. It's crazy.
It's insane. Because I've talked about this on the pod before, and I've spoken to, I don't know if I've spoken to you about it, but I've spoken to Jordan heaps, which is that I actually predict that's how the future is going, man.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost, because, well, look, eventually.
It is going that way.
We're going to reach a point where most of the jobs that we're already doing are
automated.
Can be easily done by machines. And it's not just like physical jobs, like some building a phone. It's intellectual jobs. So like I feel most of lawyers and accountants will pretty much be irrelevant in the next 30, 40 years, because artificial intelligence can sort that shit out for you. So companies won't need a team of lawyers to tell them where they went wrong or what clause they need to look at.
Because it's technical.
Yeah, it's technical, and it can easily be done by... The only reason why we can't do it is just a machine can scan something, but it can't look up and formulate arguments. But with AI, we're so close to it already that we're eventually going to be able to do it. So it leaves us with a problem, right? So what do this huge chunk of people do after this?
That's true, yeah.
It's almost like very naive to say, no, we'll retrain them in some other thing and then they'll be able to do that. Like, what other thing? And how are you going to retrain someone who was highly skilled in the first place? Like, let's say if you're an accountant, like it's almost like it's a fallacy. So you obviously, it sort of leads you into that Matrix prism where...
Well, it is like that. Yeah. I mean, Ghost in the Shell is... they're all very... These books are all very different, but it touches on a similar theme, which is... The premise of that is essentially these robotics are like... These artificial... There's this being in Ghost in the Shell that is... It's not artificial intelligence. It's like independent... naturally made, naturally formed artificial life form is birthed through like the net, and they can't explain it, and it wasn't, it's weird, it's this paradox, it's an artificial thing. I mean, it's not physical, it's like a ghost essentially, it's just like data, it's an intellectual it's artificial, but it grew naturally. It just grew out of nowhere. It's like there's no explanation for it. Like it's like, I guess it was like when you create an environment that is like a human genome, even if it is like the internet or if it's something, it's molecular and it's mechanical. It can grow in a similar way, and essentially that life force is like, I don't want to copy myself. I want to give new life, which is which essentially means two different beings interlocking and then multiplying, creating something new, like not multiplying copies, but creating different traits and then, you know, variations. That's how life grows, right?
Yeah.
There's variations, and then through like, you know, Darwinism, you sort of like
you know
through evolution, then you become stronger and blah, blah, blah. And this being was kind of like, I want to have an opportunity to be able to reproduce and die as just as a real life, or what's considered a natural life form. And then that actually happens, and then it just sort of ends, being like, it's this coolest ending of Ghost in the Shell, where the original character and this sort of natural occurring phenomenon, artificial, natural, whatever you want to call it, fuse. And then she just kind of walks over this landscape. You know, it's just that's why it's Ghost in a Shell. It's just a shell of a person. It's just like fake. It's the robot, but it can travel throughout the internet. And then she walks over this like sprawling mass metropolis of like Hong Kong, like 50 years in the future. And she's like, what wild, she's like, the endless possibilities of the internet. Where will I go now? And it's kind of like, fucking hell, this is kind of going to be inevitable.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
It's super heavy, man.
It's super heavy.
The other
heavy
thing that I was actually watching on YouTube from this one dude. Anyways, what he was saying was that he's got mates in China that they're like these scientists that are currently working on technologies that can process whatever's going in your head. So instead of actually pressing a button to move something, you just think it and it'll happen. So Whoa. We've already reached that point. So like, you know, the one thing that he was mentioning, I don't know if this is true because this is a wreck of a man, but he was saying that Stephen Hawking doesn't need to use his finger anymore. So like his machine, he can just think and it'll happen.
Wow.
So what he was saying was that's fine. That's well and good. But the problem is, if you can export information to machine without actually doing anything physical, then there's data that's traveling inside as well. So he was saying that I asked those Chinese people, those Chinese scientists, that can you influence behavior with these sorts of mechanisms?
Right.
And the Chinese scientist was saying, yep, quite easily. And he was saying, so how would mind that reading information be perceived by the person that you're sending it to? And so they'd assume that they came up with it.
Oh my God. That's exactly what happens in the Ghost in the Shell. Is this the people's? That's literally what happens. People are manipulated by getting artificial memories inserted into their brain, and then drugged so they don't remember it, and then acting out things that the person who inserted it want them, like they're mules. And then when they get arrested, they're like, why did you do it? And he's like, I need to speak to my wife. And he's like, you don't have a wife. It's like, I do. He's like, do you remember when you met her? And he's just like, and there's a photo of him, and it's like, it's just him. It's on his wife. And he's like, do you remember her name? Do you remember anything about it? And he's just like, but it has to be true. And he has all these memories, and it's
shit. Just imagine that.
It would be insane. Terrorism on a next level, because
Tying both of these things together. Now imagine this with knowing that within the next 30 years, most of the people on this planet are going to be irrelevant.
Jesus.
So what will happen to all of those people? They will form into this category where they'll be fed fake memories. They'll be fed, and they'll just be like, it'll be like the Matrix. They'll have to choose. They won't even get the choice of the pill. They'll just be, you know, like in a coma. But the thing, this is how they'll justify it, right? They'll say, yes, they're in a coma, but they're having a sick life. Which would be true, because with all of the shit that you can insert in them, you can insert some exceptional memories, some really...
But you're still
on a bed, right?
I know, but I still wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it, you know? And it raises the bigger questions of inevitably it's from the haves and haves nots, the rich and the poor, the elites and the poor. The poor people, let's say the poor people become the lawyers because they become redundant. It's still going to be a question of like politicians and like rich people will be, you know, I can't remember the word, but they'll be spared essentially. They'll be okay. And it's like, dude, you essentially agree with Alex Jones if you believe that that's fucked up. Because Alex Jones is like, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a divide. I mean, I know this is, it's a lot of it's kind of like predictions and that, but it's like, he's essentially like, it's going to be another form of control in terms of kind of the absolute control of the elites versus, because I know this is like, a lot of people might be like, this is bullshit, but if we're on this hypothetical, if your livelihood is irrelevant and obsolete, like studies have shown that if you don't have meaning, you don't give a shit about anything. You essentially, apart from frustration, it's like you're kind of useless. So if there's a generation of, if there's a whole market of people that fall in that category, and it's serious because, you know, in our system in society, it takes 10 years to find your job. It's like, study this long, especially if you're qualified. Study for 7 years if you want to be a lawyer. If you want to specialize, I mean, you're doing it now. Imagine if the whole market for your work was become redundant. How is it fair for you to just, even if there is another avenue, to study for another 10 years for another whole...
Dude, that is me. I'm about to start a 3-year law degree and with knowing that eventually lawyers will be...
That's insane, you know?
Yeah, it is. But I've got, like, other plans in my head to combat that. But, man, like, what I'm saying is that if that shit happens, I'm not the only one. There's, like, the whole society is going, so, what do I do? Do I choose to be part of that ruling elite? Actually, that would be mad.
Because it probably would. I mean, like, that's the brutal thing. I mean, like, let's be honest. Anyone that says, even you, a Marxist or whatever, anyone that says, like, do you want to come into the VIP area? They'll go, yes. Like, that's human nature. That's why communism doesn't work. But, of course you would.
Yeah, this is interesting. Some time ago, a couple of months ago, Jordan and I were talking about...
Friendly Jimmy's.
we were talking about... So, basically, there was this one girl that I was hanging out with. And I sort of wanted to be with her, but she wasn't that interested. Let's put it at that. Miss Love, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You came to my house one time and I was kind of weirded.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
Remember when you came to my house that one time and I was like you guys
couldn't figure out what was yes, up?
It was basically the night when, like, it didn't work out. Anyways.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Well, we've all been there, my friend, and it sucks, but...
Yeah, it's fine. It's done. But the thing was that Jordan and I were talking about it, like, in a less serious way of... why that happened and what was it that I was offering to her in the general scheme of things, not literally offer her, but like, what was I offering that she wasn't that interested. And like, man, I was thinking about it for a long time and okay, sure. So I was not offering that extreme social going out every night thing, which she was interested in, I guess. But man, I had a better thing. I was offering her to be part of the ruling elite, that in case there's an attack on Earth, she gets a ticket to Mars.
You don't open with that, man. Chicks don't. That freaks them out.
No, I didn't open. This was something that I was talking to Jordan about, not her.
Oh, so you were.
Like, this is crazy, man. Isn't real.
So we were
saying bullshit stuff of what I was offering, what she was offering.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get into that. But so, yeah, anyway, so that's one of the things that I was thinking of, man. Like, maybe if my plans work out, then, like, yeah, you could be the ruling elite. That when shit goes down, we get a ticket to Mars.
Damn, it's crazy.
Decent offer.
Yeah, you know what? I think that, you know, okay, I just changed my mind 100%. I just flip-flop on that. I think that would have made her just cream herself.
I obviously did talk to her. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so it's something that I think about every day of my life.
And it's the thing is, I'm not paranoid. Well, I am, but rather than being paranoid with tangible, actual threats in life, like nuclear war and, like, you know, dictators and stuff. This stuff does worry me, but it's more interesting. It's so incredibly interesting because it's philosophy in its truest form. It really is the question of, like morality, reality, you know, how we perceive things, what defines humanity, what defines... And then science as well. I mean, there's so many aspects. And it's like, first of all, it's really cool to make movies with, like, machine guns and exploding cars and stuff. But second of all, like, it's just...
It works to your reptilian mind with, like, an adrenaline straight away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get onto the philosophy later.
Oh, I mean...
See some shit blow
up. Oh, man. Initially, you know, when confrontation usually leads to guns, so it's cool. But, like, it's just extremely interesting, you know? And, yeah, And it's so interesting. It's so...